Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody. I'm Harmon the Frog.
Rachel and I are here to talk about the cost of moving, because Rachel just recently, I guess it's not that recent anymore, but moved across country and did it on a budget. And there's doing it on a budget. There's doing it with the budget. I think those are two mm-hmm. different conversations. And I just want to kind of ask you, pick some questions, and what are the most important things that we want people to know about when moving with a budget?
Yeah. I mean, they are two different things. I think that's one of the first things that I was thinking about, is that there's so many different reasons someone moves, you know, and I think it was definitely a privilege that we had time to kind of like plan it. And we had 7 months to save and to build a budget and, you know, have goals that we were moving towards. But I do think that time really helps, like time to plan, time to save. And what I learned was that we didn't actually end up paying for anything until the month of the move and the month before. So pretty much those 2 months at the end of the process. But to reserve the U-Haul, we didn't have to put down any money. Like, we bought some packing supplies, but other than that, the bulk of our expenses, hotels, food on the road, the truck, gas, that all came at the back end.
I totally agree with you. Brett and I are also moving in that same amount of time. Like, we know we're moving in the fall. We don't have a specific date yet because we don't have to, because we own our condo, which is really nice. So we can find our place first and then find tenants to move into our place. But we were talking about the cost of that because Brett has a mindset of, let's just save. And I'm like, I like to save for purpose. Like, I don't like the concept of let's just save. I'm like, what are we saving for? He was like, well, let's think about all of the expenses that it's going to take. And so our expenses are slightly different, right? Because we need to paint our house. We're going to need to fix anything that's broken. We're going to need mm-hmm. to hire super duper amazing cleaners. We're going to have to get a ton of stuff. We might have to pay a realtor if we're going to go that route, who helps us rent out the place. Like, those are a ton of expenses. And then on top of it are the moving expenses. Moving expenses, tip. And then furnishing, because we're in a 2-bedroom and we're ideally looking for a 3-bedroom. And we want to upgrade our bed. We know that immediately. So the queen will go in the guest bedroom mm-hmm. and we're getting the king. So like, add that on, and like, you can actually start to figure it out. But like, so basically we have like 8-9 months to kind of like really buckle down and save for that, because it's either that or the money has to come from somewhere. And it's fine if it has to come from the emergency fund, but like, let's do everything within our power to put that money away for the move now, so we don't have to burn the emergency fund right after we move. And then we find out like XYZ happens and our car breaks down. Oh, we're also buying a car.
Another expense. Exactly. Yeah.
So it's like, okay, cool. I think, if we're going to like make that a quick, what is the number one thing ideally, if you can have, is time. If you have time, it's super helpful. Not everybody has time. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, not everyone has time. I mean, I think then getting a really full understanding of the expenses will be crucial, because then you understand how much you need to budget into your monthly budget over less time. People move for jobs all the time. I recommend to my clients, if they ever get a new position that's requiring them to move, ask before you get an offer if there's going to be some kind of relocation assistance, because that can really offset the cost if you're moving for that kind of specific reason, especially in a situation like that, if you're moving with a limited, typically those are more limited amounts of time. They need you to start work on a specific day or whatever the case may be. And there are so many expenses associated with moving, like what you just said, like you have the cost of the move, but then also the cost of getting your place prepared for someone else to rent it, just making as full of a list as possible. Like, we have a crazy looking spreadsheet, but we just made a list of like literally every single thing that we thought we'd spend money on, and then every single thing that we would have to do, and then put that in like a calendar spreadsheet and divided everything up to make it a little bit less overwhelming, because there's definitely things that crop up along the way in terms of cost, expense, things to do. Oh, I forgot to paint this. I have to get rid of this couch and call the city to pick it up, like whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Can I have a couple of examples of what was on that list?
Yeah, absolutely. Our moving list was the U-Haul, gas, hotels. We rented a few hotels to stay in along the way, packing materials, boxes, tolls. We were driving across the country, so we wanted to make sure we accounted for tolls. Those were the big things. We had a miscellaneous category because miscellaneous things like did kind of crop up. In my month-to-month budget, my miscellaneous category is pretty small. We increased this miscellaneous category. We just planned for having things come up that we didn't plan for. Something we didn't get, but we could have, is insurance, because we did the move ourselves. We didn't actually hire movers. So we could have gotten moving insurance if we were worried about anything or getting damaged or whatnot, but we decided that was something we didn't need. And actually, that's, I guess, another big thing to consider is, are you going to use movers or are you going to do it yourself? Because the costs are different for both of those scenarios. And when we broke down the cost, we felt it was better for us financially to just do it ourselves. And my family luckily lives like halfway, so we could get to them and have some family time too in the middle of it, which has worked out really well. And we didn't have a car. We were getting a car from my grandmother. We also needed to get a car. So we just decided it worked out better us doing it ourselves, because we still would have had to rent a car to drive across the country at least half the way if we had hired movers.
Okay, couple questions. You mentioned tolls and gas.
Mm-hmm.
I, person who's about to move, feel really overwhelmed. How did you find out that information?
That's such a great question. So it was a little bit of math, but we kind of calculated at the time the average gas cost per gallon. So we had an idea of what the cost per gallon would be. We researched how much our size U-Haul, how big the tank was. And then we looked up the total mileage for the trip. And so we calculated, you know, the total, how many full tanks of gas would get us that total mileage. And then times the cost per gallon to get us kind of a general idea. And then we upped that by about $100 just to be safe, because gas fluctuates. My philosophy with this budget was budget conservatively, as in like over budget a bit if possible, because gas fluctuates, that kind of cost fluctuates. That isn't something that you might really know until a few days before potentially, but you still want to budget for it. And it changed as we drove across the country. But that really worked for us, is just understanding basically how much we got per gallon and then doing some math there. And then the tolls were a little bit more up in the air. We knew how much we'd probably pay getting out of New York because we had paid those tolls before. And then we just did a bit of Googling, just Googled average toll in the state that we were going through, and then just added up the average. And we got pretty close, actually.
Awesome. Did you use points on this trip? And if not, why?
We used points for one of our hotels. And then the other one was actually an unexpected expense. We were going to stay with friends when we got to Denver. That ended up falling through. So we booked a hotel last minute and decided not to use points, just because it wouldn't cover it in full. It was just a decision we made last minute, but we did get one of them covered by points, which was really nice to like, that was just really nice. It's basically a free night in the hotel. And then we had some extra cash on hand because we needed to have a night we didn't expect.
Yeah. I think this goes back to time, you know, in the sense of like, you know, I have a client right now who's like, hey, I'm going to Europe in June. And I just signed up for Chase Sapphire. They didn't just sign up. They were like, I only have these amount of points. I was like, oh, you're never going to have enough points by June to book this flight. You have to like apply for another credit card with great points and transfer those points over. That's the only way. But it's still going to take her probably 3 months to get those points.
Exactly.
It's a lot of foresight. What would you say was the biggest financial lesson you learned from moving?
Gosh, that's such a great question.
Thank you.
The biggest financial lesson I learned from moving This will speak to all my perfectionists out there, is that there's no such thing as a perfect budget. Something will always come up that you don't expect. And we planned for the unexpected. So it didn't feel like a hit to our, we felt like we had budgeted in the unexpectedness, which felt really supportive, but nothing really worked out exactly as we ended up having to run the U-Haul for 2 extra days. And we ended up paying $100 more in gas than we had budgeted. And we had that night at the hotel. Like, but I think what was really reassuring is that I had my emergency fund as well. We had some additional cash on hand if anything came up, and the planning ahead really helped. I know, like me explaining, like doing the math on the gas, like you might be like, oh, that's too much math, or I don't want to do that, or like, what's the point? I'll just guess. But that actually relieved so much of the stress. Like, we had a really, I think, fairly accurate idea of all the expenses we were going to have. And most of it was accessible on Google. I think it's really think the lesson out of that is it was worth the extra energy to figure out these things that are really in flux all the time, to feel more secure in what we were saving for and then in the execution. And it was just so stress. It was just such a relief to have the money saved, to be able to pay for everything that we needed. We put it on one card, paid it off in full. It was easy. So the planning ahead really helped, and getting into the details, it was so worth it for the extra, probably few hours it took in the line. You know, it wasn't that much extra time in the long run.
Yeah. It reminds me of when I was moving to DC, I was looking for I had to move in December, mm-hmm. January. And I moved to DC in August, and I knew I was moving to DC when I had to move, but I had to move. And so my roommate and I was like, I don't want to be on the lease because I'm 100% moving to DC within the year. So it was my responsibility to find a tenant. And her best friend was like, I would move in, but I can't move in until the 15th or something. I would be happy to split that month's rent with you, save the spot, and like move in when I can. Mm-hmm. And I had been budgeting like daily for 2 years, you know, or yeah, I guess 2 years at that point. Every dollar in my budget had a place and everything mattered so much. And I remember I really struggled with that decision because I was like, I don't want to give, you know, $550, $600 to like, I'm not even going to be there. Like, this is so annoying. And I remember Brett, I was so annoyed about it. And I remember Brett was like, this is a great opportunity. It helps out your roommate. She gets to live with her best friend. Brett was like, this is a great opportunity. You're leaving your roommate in a fantastic situation. It kind of relieves a lot of anxiety for you because you don't have to go find somebody on Craigslist and interview them and like go through that whole process. And like in the grand scheme of your life, $600 is not going to make or break you. And it was so hard for me to wrap my head around that, because $600 was so much money for me back then. And it was so hard for me to like, it's like when I see clients' behavior of like, I'm just going to go sell all my shit. And people always say to me, I know, AJ, you don't want me to sell my stuff. I'm like, yeah, because like, why are you trying to get, like, you're trying to milk your shirt. It's like you wore the shirt 100 times. Now you're trying to get money from it. Or like you bought something and like you need to get, you're like trying to return it 90 days later because you feel bad and guilty. It's like you're holding on so deeply. And I was like holding on so tightly. And it was like, first of all, we moved for free. His parents came and helped us move. We didn't even need a U-Haul. I had so little stuff. Like, I didn't have to pay rent when I first moved there. And it was like a really reasonable thing to pay to move. But it was that feeling of like, oh God, I'm doing this wrong. Mm-hmm. If I was doing it right, I wouldn't have spent any money.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. And now it's so funny because it's like, that's the advice I give to my clients now, because I can see the other side of it.
Yes.
It didn't mean I was a failure because I found this great alternative that actually saved me a lot of time and money, a lot of time and energy.
I love that story. That's such a great example. It's tough to see when you're in it sometimes though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Especially like at that stage of my budget journey of when like every dollar had a place in the budget and there was no room for error, or so it felt.
Hey, it's your money mom, your tough love financial support system. You know me. We're on a mission to inspire 1 million people to take control of their finances because empowered people simply empower people. When you gain financial knowledge, you become a better person and can uplift those around you. Together, we'll conquer financial hurdles, build a secure future, and show up in life as our best selves. Help us reach our goal by rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast because every action brings us closer to our mission. All right, let's get back into the episode and transform your financial future.
So I think the lesson in that is like, again, it's like, there's no perfect budget and like things are going to come up. And in like the grand scheme of your life, a few hundred dollars isn't going to kill you. Now, if we're talking, we're going thousands of dollars over, I think that's probably an indication that you didn't plan.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. It makes me want to say something a little controversial, which is that we have a podcast where you, me, and Leah go over like what to do if you're moving to a new state. And like we went through that whole, or what to do when you're moving out of your parents' house. But like, what is driving an urgency to move? Like, can you actually give yourself time? Did it actually have to be urgent? And sometimes the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a horrible situation. You have to get out immediately. But are there ways to like mitigate some of that cost if they're even in those moments of, I have to get out? Or
yes,
most of us, I think they're actually, we can preemptively plan.
Yes. Yeah. And sometimes it comes down to, okay, how many months am I willing to be here and prioritize saving? You know, like if it's, because obviously some situations need to be left immediately. If there's abuse involved, like it, some situations, it's just have to leave.
Yep.
But yeah, if it's just, if it's uncomfortable and it's getting to a point where it's like, no, I have to go, like there is some like internal pressure. It's a toxic situation, whatever it is. But if it's like, okay, could I push this 2 more months, 3 more months, prioritize saving so that I'm in just a little bit better place for when that happens, and evaluating that for yourself.
Yeah.
I think I was ready to move out of New York way sooner than we did it, but we did it because we didn't want to break our lease and be faced with that cost and rigmarole. We really didn't want to deal with that or even find tenants to be there. Like it was just, no, we'll be there. We'll just be there till the end of the lease. But I wanted to leave so much earlier. Pretty much the moment we decided on the city, I was like, okay, I could be there tomorrow. But once we had made that decision, even though I was really unhappy, I knew what we were working towards, and that really kept me going.
Yeah, that's a really tough conversation to navigate with people sometimes, because it's like, you were willing to sit in the discomfort to achieve a bigger goal. Okay, so let's talk about that. So what would have been the consequences if you had left when you wanted to?
We would have had to break our lease or do the work to find someone to sublet for a few months until the end of it, probably about 4 months. So that could have been a financial consequence or just a consequence of time, us putting in more time to find that solution.
Did you know how much it would have cost to break the lease?
No, actually, we never asked, but I imagine they would have kept our security deposit or something of that sort.
I mean, it obviously depends, but I've heard, 3 months.
Horror stories. Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard really, I mean, I get it. Like, what if they can't fill that space for 3 months?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I don't have that number. We never asked because we didn't really make it a consideration for ourselves, but I imagine something. Would have cost us something. And then we would have only had maybe a few thousand dollars saved for the actual move itself. So we probably would have had to put a lot of costs on a credit card and then build a repayment plan to pay that off eventually. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's that or like deplete your emergency fund.
Yeah.
Which moving to a new city with no, moving anywhere with no emergency fund does not feel good.
Oh, I felt so much better knowing I had that underneath me.
Anything could have happened. I moved the day after I moved to DC, I lost my job, my remote job.
Wow. I didn't know it was the day after you moved.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Oh my God. It was so funny. It was such a funny, she was just like, you don't, it's like my boss is like, you don't want this job. And I'm like, yes, I do. And she's like, you're not very good at this job. She didn't say it like that, but like, that's, I was so unqualified for, it's not even underqualified. I was not qualified for the job at all. And I own that so hard, but it got me to be able to move and have an emergency fund.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was great. Yeah. I would have felt really, really messed up. And it was still even hard finding, and then it took me a really long time to find a job. Basically, that impulsivity would have cost you either you're like almost like depleting your whole emergency fund.
Mm-hmm.
And I only can say that because I know you had one.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it would have covered all of the things that needed to happen, like first month's rent, security deposit.
Oh yeah. And especially if we had to break the lease, that would have had to come out of my emergency fund too, because that would have had to come out of that too.
Yeah. And like the couple thousand that you had already saved, like would have just added to that and then it would have been gone.
Yeah.
Or you would have gone into debt, which I do want to talk about, like going into debt for a move. And then you would have been spending the next like 21 months repaying that back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at Beyond the Green, we are very supportive. We like debt. We don't have debt negativity. We think that debt has a time and a place. And sometimes debt's really valuable. So let's say you do have to move and you're in a position where maybe you or let's just say you did your best, you saved as much as you could, but it wasn't enough. What are your thoughts about how to deal with debt in that situation?
I would use the debt that you need to cover, you know, what you need to move, anything, you know, left over from what you hadn't saved. And then I would make sure that you have a clear sense of all of your debt just in general, but then I would open a balance transfer card, put all of the costs of the move on one card. So it's not interacting with any other lifestyle expenses, if possible, and then transfer it to a balance transfer card and then utilize 0% interest to pay that down over the life of that balance transfer potentially.
I would do that if you were not in a position to apply for a 0%
interest card first.
Yeah. Yeah. There are plenty of cards that do offer like a initial sign in bonus of 18, 21 months, 0%.
Yeah, you're totally right. You're totally right. And sometimes those cards also offer, like if you put X amount on it in X amount of months, you could get an extra $100 or points, or sometimes they have additional bonuses too, like that.
Yeah. I'm going to say something else, really another controversial thing is that if you're in a position where like moving would deplete your entire savings, I would be heavily subsidizing with debt. Because
then what happens if you move and then you don't have any savings once you get there? That's a tough position to be in too.
And at least if you're like aware of like, I need, first of all, none of this happens if you're not planning. If you're not planning, if you're not sitting down and looking at the toll cost, if you're not sitting down and looking at the gas, you don't get to utilize debt. None of this happens. This is where my tough mom comes in. But if you are planning and you're like, I need like $5,000 and I would to totally deplete, I would get my emergency fund to a place that scares me. Like I wouldn't be able to cover 1 month's rent. It's like, okay, then you know you have $5,000. You know that you're going to create a debt repayment plan. You make sure that you can afford that in your monthly budget when you move with your new cost of living expenses. And you pay it off monthly like a bill. Mm-hmm. Like there's a bill for moving, just like it's like utilities, rent, bill for moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be so scary. Like, and I totally agree that it should be on its own card.
That was just so helpful for us.
Yeah. If you can't afford to pay it off, then it should be on its own card. That's 0%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else? Anything we missed moving? What we want people to know?
Well, I think the one thing that I don't know if many people forget this, but I think a lot of people I talk to is like the focus on the move itself. But then like, once you get there, buying furniture, we budgeted for buying some big pieces of furniture that we knew we wouldn't want to go too far without and save for those. We integrated that into our entire move budget as well. Yeah. Because we weren't bringing much furniture personally. Obviously that shifts, you know, if you're, we wanted to, I was nervous about driving a bigger truck. So we got the smaller truck and brought less furniture, but then we just budgeted for buying more once we got here.
That's hilarious. Now you're like, I'm a truck driver. I got this.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm like, give me the 20 footer. We'll bring our couch.
It must have felt nice to get a new couch in the new space and all that too.
Yeah, it was. And so much of the furniture we had in New York was, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it was very pieced together from like my life, from Chris's life, from different roommates over all the years we'd have in New York. And it felt really nice to start fresh. And our apartment in New York was quite small. And so we didn't, we bought furniture we liked, but it wasn't like our dream furniture. Like we really have like a dream couch now. Like that was really cool to be able to get and really give ourselves that after we've spent a few years like with not our ideal furniture. We got to start over new with some things, obviously not everything, but
yeah. I'm a really like big believer of like do not hold on to things that don't bring you joy. And like, don't like, it's just because you like certain things have a purpose and like, it's all within what you can afford. But if like if you don't need that $200 like couch that you bought off Craigslist anymore, it's okay to get rid of it. Like it's okay. Yes. You got your money's worth. Like let it go. We're done. Time to move on. I agree. I also think it brings up a nice point of like, and I don't know who will relate to this, but like you're going to want to make friends when you move. If you're moving somewhere new, like you're going to want to be out and about. So like, if again, you spend all of your savings and you put on like an enormous amount of debt, you're going to feel really stressed when you move and you want to feel really good because like you're embarking on this new journey. So it's like, how do we make this experience less stressful?
Mm-hmm.
I have some big personal, professional not to do's. Please do not take a loan out of your 401k to move.
Please.
Yeah. Please don't do that. Please don't take out a personal loan to move. Utilize 0% interest. Like there's absolutely no reason to get a lump sum of money that's going to cost you interest when you can get interest for free. I think those are my big no-nos right now.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the ones that I've already mentioned. Like your retirement is not worth your move.
No. No. Especially not when you can put it on 0% interest and pay it off over time in a way that works for you.
Cool. Well, I think this was super helpful. Let us know what you think and happy budgeting.